NASA delays a resupply mission for spacewalks. The Sea Light float plane achieves first flight, and Boeing to establish research centers in 5 states. This is Aero News for Thursday, December 19th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. NASA managers are postponing the upcoming Orbital Sciences Commercial Cargo resupply mission to the International Space Station to proceed with a series of spacewalks to replace a faulty pump module on the space station. Orbital Sciences' Cygnus spacecraft atop its Antares rocket will now launch no earlier than January. The postponement of the Antares launch will allow 2 Expedition 38 astronauts to venture outside the space station on December 21st, 23rd, and yes, on Christmas Day, the 25th. NASA astronauts Rick Mastracchio and Mike Hopkins will remove a pump module that has a failed valve. They will replace it with an existing spare that is stored on an external stowage platform. The pump is associated with one of the station's 2 external cooling loops, which circulate ammonia outside the station to keep both internal and external equipment cool. Each of the 3 spacewalks is expected to last 6.5 hours. B-Light announced the successful first test flight of their new aircraft, the B-Light C-Light. The C-Light is an amphibious carbon fiber float-equipped aircraft designed to legally fly under U.S. FAR 103 regulations off either water or land. Although the first test flight was from a conventional grass runway, the expanded test plan will soon demonstrate takeoff and landing operations from water as well. The base aircraft used in the test flight is a design variation of B-Light's Ultra Cub aircraft. This innovative airplane incorporates a large number of technically advanced features like wing struts and floats of carbon fiber, which allow it to fly with an empty weight under the FAR 103 prescribed maximum airframe weight of 338 pounds. The C-Light was developed in direct response to customer request and will be delivered to an individual in the upper Midwest early next year. In amphibious, that's land and water, configuration, this new aircraft is priced at $60,000 FAF. In straight water-only configuration, it's $50,000. Other non-aquatic versions of B-Light's Ultra Cubs have starting prices under $20,000. And speaking of first flights, the Thatcher CX-5, a two-place version of the CX-4 kit plane, flew for the first time Tuesday from Jack Edwards Airport in the Florida Panhandle. Pilot Dr. Glenn Bradley said it is easy to tell the CX-4 and CX-5 are brothers. He said the canopy of the 5 is more rounded and higher, adding, quote, "That, combined with the fact that the wing is about a foot or so further back in the 5, gives one a view of much more ground below. One sits more out in front of the wing. This, combined with higher seating position in the 5, makes one feel like they are flying a fighter. It is really superb," end quote. You can read his first-person report of the test flight on our website at www.aero-news.net. Boeing has announced it will establish technology research centers in Alabama, California, Missouri, South Carolina, and Washington states as it continues to lay the foundation for increased competitiveness for future growth. The company will restructure its Boeing Research and Technology Organization as the new centers will operate independently but cooperatively with one another and with Boeing technology centers in Australia, Brazil, China, India, Spain, and Russia. The international centers conduct research to benefit the environment, aviation safety, air traffic management, and other areas. A Raytheon 390 Premier One business jet went down Tuesday night shortly after takeoff from Fulton County Airport near Atlanta on its way to New Orleans. The 2 people on board the plane were fatally injured. The accident occurred just after 1900 Eastern Daylight Time. Television station WSB reports that a nearby resident said that, quote, "before it even hit, the house shook," end quote. Drew Hawkins, who lives in the neighborhood where the airplane went down, said he then heard an explosion and, quote, "the house shook even more," end quote. The plane impacted terrain about 200 yards from his house. A post-impact fire ensued. No one on the ground was injured. FAA records indicate that the Premier was registered to Malin Industries, Inc., located in Norcross, Georgia. Its airworthiness certificate was issued in November of 2003 and was set to expire early in 2016. The Maxine Flournoy, 3rd Coast Squadron of the Commemorative Air Force, has broken ground on its new hangar and museum at T.P. McCampbell Airport in Ingleside, Texas. The event was held last week with the squadron's namesake, the legendary World War II pilot and instructor Maxine Flournoy, in attendance. Flournoy was one of the first women ever to fly a military aircraft. Colonel Pearson Knoll said that construction would begin immediately after the groundbreaking ceremonies and should be completed by April 15th of next year. The project includes necessary infrastructure, a 12,500-square-foot hangar, a 3,000-square-foot museum office and conference room, vehicle parking for 50 cars, and a tarmac area large enough for all the unit's airplanes. When Aero News continues, Marion C. Blakey receives the Wright Brothers Trophy. Model aviators benefit wounded warriors. And ladies and gentlemen, there will be a slight delay.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
The True Blue Power TS-835 series emergency power supply features lithium iron phosphate technology, resulting in an EPS that is 63% lighter than lead acid designs with a 10-year life expectancy. Available from your local avionics dealer.
Aero News continues now for Thursday, December 19th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Marion C. Blakey, President and CEO, AIA, was presented with the Wright Brothers Memorial Trophy on December 13th to commemorate her significant and lasting leadership in aviation. The trophy represents the highest honor in aviation to be presented annually to a living person by the National Aeronautic Association at the Washington Aero Club's annual dinner. Ms. Blakey joins a long list of prestigious honorees, including famous aviators, space pioneers, government officials, and celebrities. Blakey said in accepting the award, quote, "Frankly, the trophy should be inscribed with the word we, because it recognizes not just me, but the work of teams of colleagues and mentors that I have had the privilege of working with over the course of my career," end quote. A total of $76,000 was raised for and presented to the Wounded Warrior Project, as a result of the efforts of the Academy of Model Aeronautics and its chartered clubs that participated in the inaugural National Model Aviation Day. AMA clubs across the country celebrated National Model Aviation Day on August 17th by welcoming the public to their flying sites to enjoy a day of model aviation activities. National Model Aviation Day was created by the Academy, the country's foremost organization for aero modeling, to celebrate the history of model aviation and to promote the hobby. Several states issued proclamations recognizing the occasion. Participating clubs offered visitors an introduction to model aviation through flight demonstrations, static displays, hands-on activities, refreshments, and opportunities to experience model aircraft flight. And then there's this. Ethiopian Airlines Flight ET-815 was unable to land at Kilimanjaro International Airport because there was another airplane on the runway experiencing mechanical problems. So it was diverted to Arusha Municipal Airport, a general aviation field with a 5,315-foot runway, instead of Nairobi or Dar es Salaam, which would be normal alternates. Well, the Boeing touched down at Arusha, but overran the end of the runway and buried its nose gear in soft soil. Passengers had to wait on the airplane until an air stair could be brought from Kilimanjaro, about 27 miles away. All of this comes from a blog focusing on aviation and tourism in the Eastern Africa and Indian Ocean region, written by Professor Dr. Wolfgang H. Thom. It's not known why the flight was diverted to Arusha, and a source at Kilimanjaro told Dr. Thom that even if the airliner were stripped of seats and other equipment, it's unclear whether it will be able to depart from Arusha to Kilimanjaro. Meanwhile, the Arusha airport has been closed while the situation is dealt with. Can you say, oops? I'm Glenn Warrior. Thanks as always for listening, and you're now cleared for departure.